This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Sligo have got their men. The two new co-managers of the Sligo senior football team are two of its most decorated former players, and they're homegrown. Eamon O'Hara and Desi Sloyne are on the programme. We'll also give you the full rundown of football and hurling county managerial appointments in the Yates County for 2026. Few League of Ireland managers have used the summer transfer window better than Sligo Rovers boss John Russell. We'll hear from his latest new recruit, midfielder Kieran Harkin. And despite their All-Ireland final heartbreak, thousands greeted Jim McGuinness and the Donegal footballers at Monday night's homecoming in Donegal Town. We'll play you the manager's address to the fans. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details. It's 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. And on Twitter, we're at @OceanFMSport. We begin in Sligo, where Eamon O'Hara and Desi Sloyne have been appointed as joint managers of the Sligo senior football team. They succeed Tony McEntee, who stepped down after the county's Tailteann Cup quarter-final exit to Fermanagh. That was after 5 years in charge. This new appointment is for 3 years. Con O'Mara will also be part of the management setup, as will Donegal's 2012 All-Ireland winner, Eamon McGee. We'll hear from the Gidor man a little later. But first to the new co-managers, O'Hara and Sloyne, who sat down with Ocean FM Sport this week. Two men who've enjoyed some special moments with Sligo in their playing days.
And here's Eamon O'Hara surging through, Hanley trying to get back to it. O'Hara! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! It was very close to goal of the season. It's all about McNamara's foot pass. A lovely little collect and a dish by David Kelly. Just watch O'Hara. Right, brings the barrel up and absolutely flashes it to the net with the left foot. It's a tremendous goal.
It's off the post. Chance here for Desi Sloyne. Can he score? Yes! Sligo! And Desi Sloyne. Oh, incredible!
Eamon O'Hara and Desi Sloyne, the new co-managers of the Sligo senior footballers. Whose idea was this to go for the job together?
I was waiting for Desi to answer that one. I'll stay. Well, listen, we obviously Desi had obviously brought me in with the under-20s, and as I said to anybody that ever added, it just showed that he was void of ego or control and any capacity to bring somebody like myself into that setup. And obviously the team that was with him at the time were very open for me coming in, and I saw that as a special trait in Desi being a manager. Obviously we had played together, we're friends, for years we soldiered together and we travel up and down the country in buses, so we know each other inside out. But really it was a case of we didn't talk about this until it became available, because obviously Tony was in the role, and when it became available, then obviously the discussion started to happen, and we talked about the workload and we talked about how much it's going to take and the effort it's going to be required. And obviously then we were never going to run against each other. I don't think we were never going to put a team against each other, and it was a case of, will we go joint managers? And that was it. And again, it's they might be titles, but we're only here to do our job and offer our little bit, our tuppence worth, and we just work together as a group. And you know, even though you might be the manager, it's the wider group. There's nobody more important than the group itself, and that goes down to the Con and the rest of the guys that will be coming in. And yeah, we just made the decision sort of organically.
As county teammates with Sligo in the noughties, were ye friendly? I mean, you're different parts of the county. I remember him firing balls into you in 0-1 against Kildare, 0-2 against Tyrone. But like, were ye mates in the county setup?
Oh yeah, definitely, because we came up through the underage system together. I know Eamon is a bit older than me, but we played underage, and we'd even played against each other at school level. So we would know each other from 15, 16, you know, and then into minor teams and under 20 teams, under 21 at that stage. We would have played a number of years together, and it was a great group that time, and we stuck together for a long, long time, and still very good friends with most of that age group. You know, that were around, that would have been in that good teams of the 01, 02, you know, that the Mickey Moore would have brought a lot of us through in the late 90s there that would have came up through the underage system. So we were always good friends. He didn't pass the ball that much to me, but we stayed good friends all the same.
Can I answer that? I completely disagree with him. I know, I'm only joking. No, it's one of those ones where you create a relationship when you I can go away and I might not see some of the lads for 4 or 5 years. Like, you know, you might not meet up or you might miss them. But when you meet up, like, it's just simple to get back chatting about different things and everything. And, you know, we're lucky that way that, you know, we've obviously always been involved in some capacity, be it at club level or be it at county level, whatever it might be. We had probably more and more touch points than most. And obviously, it was just one of those ones that we were friends, like, you know what I mean? You always sort of you'd soldier for each other, to stand up for him many a time on the pitch and look after him. But, you know, he'd be quick to complain about the quality of the ball that might be going in. But it was one of those where we just sort of it was never a personal dig. We never fell out over it. We were just saying, like, if he needed a better ball, he might say float in higher or something else like that. You say, okay, I'll try that. And as I said, I challenge him on certain things in terms of you probably could have got it or you should have got it, and he'd say no, it was too far away from me. So you just work together. You find the solution. You try and fix whatever the issue was. But once we ever walked off the field, be it with Eastkent or Lestrand or whatever else, it was, you know, we were just back to normal friends. So it was never any animosity between the two of us.
This is not your first managerial rodeo, Desi. You were manager in 2022 when Sligo won their first ever Connacht Under-20 Championship title, and Eamon was part of your management team, and so was Connemara, who's part of your senior management team right now. So was that where the gelling started?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose myself and Con came in 3 years earlier at Under-20 level, and we learned, you know, fairly quickly from year to year, and we kept, you know, trying to progress it, and the first year was really a steep learning curve for us. We were appointed a bit late, and second year then was, I think COVID was the second year, and that put a kibosh on things as well. But we definitely, after losing to Roscommon in the Under-20 that year, we could see what we needed for the following year, and Roscommon went on to an All-Ireland final. So we knew we weren't a million miles away, and look, Eamon came in then the following year and just added that little bit extra to our group, along with, I think, Cathal Sheridan joined us that year as well. And that helped us get over the line. And it's all about progress and learning from year to year and using your experience. But yeah, going back to your question, that's definitely where the good fit came from that year. And it was something we always said we'd like to, maybe deep down said we'd like to get back to that, you know, because we had really good times together, you know, on and off the pitch, because we get on so well as a group, you know, even the three of us. And look at Eamon McGee is of similar nature to ourselves as well, and, you know, he's similar character. So I can see it gelling very well, you know, and we're very open with each other and very honest with each other, and we demand high standards off each other in a good way. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
I've often heard it said, lads, there can only be one boss. There are countless examples of co-managers. We've Declan Kelly and Mickey Hart in current intercounty management. Eamon, you worked with Gerry McGowan very successfully for years. You won 5 Tour Lestrand county titles. Does it really work? Can it be done?
Of course it can be done, Austin. I think it's, you know, they say there can be one boss, but I think, you know, even modern day working at this present moment in time, I know you have a CEO, but there's an awful lot more managers that would be involved with any company, and, you know, that's called collaboration and cross collaboration. I think if you're void of ego, like, I'm not here looking for the recognition or anything else like that. I'm just here to sort of make sure that these fellas, you know, are achieving or doing the very, very best they can. I think I can't speak for him, but I think he's on the same page as me, and I know he's on the same page as me. You know, I'll challenge Con in terms of if it's an Austin O'Callaghan that's not performing on the pitch, why is he not? Why is the skill level not good enough? And that's where I'll come, and Con will say, well, he's doing this or he's doing that and he's not doing something else. And we'll just, myself and Desi will sit down and we'll make a decision on that fella. So it's not really, our direction is very, very clear. The what we want to achieve is very, very clear in terms of within ourselves, in terms of what we want to do. We want to become competitive, but how you go by doing it. I don't think there'll be massive calls to be made throughout the year in terms of maybe structure, or maybe, you know, how the whole, you know, the partnership that we'll try and make with the county board. There's no massive questions or changes to be made there. It's about getting the players in, and whoever those they are, then it's about getting them up to the mindset of, you know, trying to achieve the best they can, and obviously make them into winners, try to make them into winners and to be successful and to be hungry for success, because really they should be there. But for myself and Desi, that's our job, and we'll just co-collaborate that together. But, you know, even the success going forwards, and Cathal Sheridan, you know, we learnt this with Cathal at the 20s level, you know, it has to be the group, all of us together. It's not just management. The players have to be part of this decision making, and once we all put our name to the docket, then it's a case of, right, now we have to deliver. So really it's just cross-collaboration and openness and constant communication.
Eamon, you're managing Boyle in Roscommon at the moment. Desi, you're with Knockmore in Mayo at the moment. Con, you're with the county and Connacht club champions Killeara Strandhill at the moment. Do you stay with those jobs, or does everything change now?
No, we've agreement that we'd stay. We'd honour that. We were lucky enough to be selected from the clubs at the start of the year when this vacancy wasn't there. So no, we're staying with our clubs for their championships, and I think that's a really positive thing as well, because with the new rules we're learning week to week and game to game, and we're all in a very competitive environment in Roscommon, obviously Sligo and Mayo. So there's huge learning for us in the next number of weeks and throughout the championship. So I think that's we can bring that with us into Sligo from the, you know, the learnings we get from the next number of weeks in these championships. I think that's huge for us going forward.
Con, you've been working with Killeara Strandhill. You have your finger on what's happening in Sligo club football at the moment, with a lot of success too. How much does this change things for you?
Well, it's a positive, because as I was saying to the lads, instead of looking at the best players from other teams and working out to negate them, from the Sligo point of view, you're looking how to bring that all together and bring it forward, you know. So we'll know all about it Friday evening when we open up against Shamrock Gales, you know, and there's lads there will be putting their hands up as well for a county selection. So no, it's very exciting, and it's great to, I think it is a positive. The one thing with myself and the two men here, we know the players in Sligo, you know, we're not starting from, you know, from behind a rock, not knowing what's going on. We've a good idea of what we're looking at, but there's also going to be guys who are going to put their hand up and find form in this championship and put their hands up, and it's an open canvas. Those guys will be brought in and get their chance, and if they're doing what is demanded of them and what they sign up to, as Eamon said there, there's potential for them there to make the county team.
I feel, guys, I'm looking at strong personalities here, popular personalities, but strong guys, and you're also bringing in a Donegal factor in Eamon McGee, All-Ireland winner. That's quite the mix, Desi.
Yeah, but you need strong characters, and I think we'll only grow together, to be honest. And character is a huge part of Gaelic football, as you know, and it's so important to have good characters in the room. Now, strong characters is a good way of putting it, but good characters that can bounce off each other and, you know, work together and, you know, progress together and demand good standards off each other. That's always good. And we'll be looking for good characters in the players as well. That's a huge part of it, you know. So talent will get you so far, but, you know, it's that real good attitude that comes from the character within is what will make the difference at the end. Like,
Eamon O'Hara, two things I want to ask you. Probably in my time working with Ocean FM, the name mentioned most about being a future Sligo manager is probably yours, given your on-the-field achievements and your club management to date. You've had to be patient to get this job. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, you have to be patient, I suppose. You kind of fast-track it, unfortunately. You can't just presume you're going to get a job if you put your hat into the ring, I think. You know, going way back, I was offered the job, but unfortunately work circumstances changed and I had to sort of withdraw from it. And obviously the last time it didn't happen and Tony got appointed, but obviously this time it came. And, you know, I think, am I a better person now than I was back then in terms of football knowledge and management knowledge and, you know, understanding how players are and modern day players are? I'm 100% better now, and there's no doubt about it. So, but, you know, I might be a name, or you might be a household name, whatever you want to call it. This man beside me, or these two men beside me, are household names, and their experience goes equally, it goes equally hand in hand with my own. The fact that it's me, there's no guarantee of success. The fact that it's Desi and Con, there's no guarantee of success. As I says, we're here to empower these fellas. If we want fellas coming in here, you know, chomping, you know, knock, you know, pulling the doors off the hinges to really, really come in and show us what they can do. And I know that's words, Ossie. A lot of that can be said, and I've listened to some of these, you know, managers down through the years that might be at press conferences or whatever else. This is fact. Like, you know, we have to create our own template in Sligo. We have to try and sort of develop something new and empower these fellas the best we can. And that's what it's going to be. And, you know, as I said, it's not what happened yesterday. It's everything now. What you do going forward is from today going forward. And, you know, if that means is there is somebody at home that might be, you know, operating at 80% level, get himself up to 100% fitness levels, you know, and show us when we do get to their games or look at their games that he's can be a vital part of this cog.
Since you stopped playing, though, has everything either indirectly or directly been circling around to this moment that you have been managing the Sligo senior footballers?
I suppose I was lucky when I finished with Sligo, went into with RTE, and I suppose I started looking at football a little bit differently. But then I also went into management, and as I said to the lads there, you know, my difficulty as a manager, and Desi might vouch for this as well, and Con would be the same. Like, you, when you're playing, you can see things, and you could, you know, even when I was playing with Sligo, and Desi was the selector, Kevin Walsh, you could go over to the lads and say, Jesus, we need to do something here. We're being caught down one side, and when I was in there, I could see it. When I moved to the sideline, it was quite difficult. It was quite difficult to see it, and you try to engage yourself as best you can. And you needed something to fire you up, to focus you. But I think over the years, you sort of manage yourself. You know, you manage how you look at the game differently. Obviously, the RTE thing was, you know, what's actually happening, stealing with pride, as I would say, ideas from other teams. And you're trying to bring it back into your own management setup. But then you're trying to find the balance. You know, when you're with the club, not everybody in your club wants to be a county player, so you can't have county standards, you know, every day. You have to be able to find the balance of that enjoyment side of it with the club. So really, for me now, this is the county level, this is the elite level, and these fellas here beside me they're all about doing things really right. Everything has to be right, Ossie, and I think that to me is the most appealing thing about this. We are doing things right at elite level, and that's the standard we're going to try and strive for.
There's one more question I want to ask you, and please don't walk out on me when I ask this question. You are a passionate man. Your love of Sligo is clear, and that manifests itself as a player, as a manager. At times, your passion has got you into trouble on the sideline as a manager, with Tour Lestran, with Mohel. Have the new rules solved that, or is Desi Sloane going to be Sligo's yin to your yang?
Are you referring to any one specific one?
Well, I'm thinking of the county final with Mohel. I'm thinking of there are times you do seem to lose the run of yourself. I've seen you have to be restrained occasionally, and I know it's because you're into the game.
And what was the outcome of that one after the Mohel one? The card was rescinded.
It was indeed. I'm not.
So just again, Ossie, to answer your question, I understand where you're coming from. I think you know, as I said myself, you can be passionate on the line. I think there's been a, I won't necessarily say a narrative or an expectation that everyone needs to be like, for example, a Jim Galvin there, null and void of emotion. You have to have some sort of passion. You have to some sort of a drive. I demand standards, but I also demand standards of referees. And if I ask a fourth official what that was for, a lot of the time you can play referees or you can play fourth officials or sidelines in terms of if you do challenge. It's amazing when you go back and look at the video that you actually end up getting two or three very, very handy frees afterwards. And it's all about controlling the momentum. To answer the question, it's very, very simple. As I says, I'll conduct myself with huge dignity and honour on the sideline. Yeah, you won't agree with everything and what you might see. Jack O'Connor, if you saw when Michael Murphy pushed somebody the last day, nobody made any comment about Jack O'Connor going up, nearly going out of his exclusion zone and remonstration and had to be manhandled to come back.
And I hear you, Jim McGuinness was the same last Sunday for Donegal with the linesman. I suppose it's just in the inter-county environment there's a bigger spotlight on what's happening on the sideline.
Yeah, and as I said, I'll conduct myself with huge grace and dignity, and we'll have rules for the players to conduct themselves on the team, and we'll have rules for the management. And again, it depends where you find yourself. I might decide that I might want to go up and watch games up in the stand. I'll do that. And if we all do that, we'll do that. And if we're all on the sideline, we'll conduct ourselves accordingly.
One final thought, gents, and Con, you might have views on this, given, you know, you're well plugged into the club scene here. I'm sure to a degree you keep an eye on what's coming through in Sligo. in terms of talent, as well as the talent that you have to work with. And a lot of Sligo fans would like to think there's a pretty good wave, or maybe a couple of waves coming here. It doesn't guarantee success, but it does look exciting to work with. Is that how you guys see it?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of our under-20s last year as well, very competitive, you know, unlocking the semi-final, been obviously winning a couple of titles in the last couple of years, and then disappointingly 2 years ago didn't get through. After that minor team that did win, the minors didn't progress. But you know, there's a lot of good players coming through at every level, and it's about, I think that's one of the things we have to look at, is about getting a clear pathway from that underage into our senior. I think that's something we're definitely big on, because we've been there at under 20 level, and we feel there's a gap there. Look, 20-year-olds are very young to come into a senior team, so we're looking to bridge that year or two there, about, you know, how do we get them, prepare them for when they do come back at 21, 22, but they're ready then to really step into that senior team and not just become part of a panel. So that's something we've a lot of thoughts on that, and we're talking to the county board about it at the minute. So that's definitely, Sligo football is in a great place at true underage, even at senior. They're competing for Tarleton Cups, very unlucky semi-final level the past couple of years. So we're there or thereabouts, and it's about, you know, it's the last 5-10% is the tough one to get over the line, but that's what we're here for, and that's what we're challenging ourselves to do that.
You know, absolutely, and you said it, Austin, there's great talent. Like, the club games, it's so competitive. Like, we're going in on Friday against Shamrock Gales, who won the league well against Torres Strand. They'll fancy themselves this year. Mullash Gales, you know, it's a very competitive championship. And I think with Clara Strandhill winning it last year, everybody is saying, if they can do it, we can do it. And, you know, the word on the ground is, you're checking in, clubs have upped their level in terms of S&C, in terms of their due diligence and attention to detail. They've seen what is there if you do that, and that can only be good for the county, because when you have a competitive club scene and you have lads getting used to winning, you know, against other counties, you know, last year we beat the Mayo champions, beat the Roscommon champions, that gives great confidence. I've referenced it before, a member of our team, Ross Doherty, you know, talking to him before the Ballinas Stephen Knights game, and, you know, saying this is a game for you and so on. He looked me in the eye and he said, I've never lost to a Mayo team, you know. So there's young lads coming up there that'll infuse energy into the talent that's already there, and it's a blank canvas. There's guys out there mightn't have made under 20 panels, one of them playing for Shamrock Gales, the next that we're worrying about, that can put his hand up and get in there, and it's really, really exciting.
Eamon, there's a new younger generation of Sligo footballer, it seems to us, who are used to winning. They don't make a big hem of playing Kerry or Galway and Mayo. They certainly don't make a big deal of whether they can beat them or not. It's not in their culture. I don't know if it was always that way. Maybe you guys had great belief back in your day, but that must be exciting to know you're about to work with that.
Yeah, as Con said there, I suppose the first thing was, we've probably been scarred by some heavy defeats from the likes of the I'll call them the big three that's in Connacht, and these young fellas that Desi and Con have been sort of coaching the last number of years, they've had huge success, and you know, there's nothing better than not having to convince somebody you can beat a Mayo or Sligo. When they've done it at underage level, they believe, and it's an automatic, and that's the message. Like, you, obviously we have to, there's certain fellas there that have been beaten, but on any given day you're capable of beating anyone, and I think if you know that and you've experienced that prior, that's what it's all about. And I think we were the same back, going back even with Peter Ford back in the early noughts, and even at 09, or sorry, 10, 11, 12 at Kevin Walsh, with Tommy at 07. When you beat a big team, you know then it's consistency of performance, but I think I can do this, I think we can do this, but we have to turn up. And a lot of the time we always believed we could beat Mayo or Galway, but we just didn't turn up. And that old 2000 game that we had in Markovitch Park, that always reminds me of, we just didn't do the work on the day. We were convinced that we were in it, but we left the work behind us. But we pulled from all those experiences. Like, we've drawn all our experiences in from why that was a failure back then. We're trying to apply it now to this current group. And obviously the narrative will be a little bit changing, because we always talked about, you know, being able to compete against these fellas. These fellas have competed and they have won at underage success, but there's no guarantee at senior level. It's a big step up and it's a big mental challenge for these. So again, that's where our job is to instill that self-belief, but that real understanding that you got to perform on the day, you got to turn up on the day.
This is the last question, Desi Sloane. We spent a few minutes talking about Eamon's record and his passion for the game as a manager. We shouldn't forget you guided Eesky to an All-Ireland Junior Club final out of nothing back in the day. Well, not out of nothing, but it was a beautiful surprise and journey for Sligo supporters. You've been working away, learning your craft on the Longford inter-county setup. So I'm sensing this was as big an ambition for you as it was for Eamon or for Con or anybody else who went for this Sligo job.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's something... Yeah, you know, when you're a player, you never think down the line or whatever's happening. But then you, I suppose, automatically fall into the club scene, you know, at home with Eesky and working with underage and then on to the seniors. And you're kind of, even I know in my time playing with Sligo, you come back to your club and you do the training sessions with the club. And I've been always involved in it, the same as the lads here. And it's just something you progress. And then you kind of, I suppose, I fell into it naturally, really, with the club. There was probably no one else to do the jobs at these small clubs, and they end up doing it. And it was the same really at under 20 when I took it over. I don't even think there was anybody else in for the job at the time. And you know, and I suppose the one thing that I did learn walking away from that is this huge passion in Sligo and the amount of people that you meet, and they still talk about 0-2 and playing Armagh and playing Tyrone. And you know, and oh, we'd love to get back to them days and love to be in Croke Park again and seeing those days. And it's something you don't really realise as a player until you're either, I suppose, maybe a parent or a supporter, when you get to go to these games and see your son or see somebody that you know from your club playing. And that really instills huge passion, and you go back and you think, geez, yeah, I remember that we used to do that. Like, you know, why can't this group do it? And I got a huge taste for that with the under-20s, you know, and really enjoyed my time with them. And then just by accident, I suppose Paddy Christie gave me a call for Longford, were you interested? And I didn't know at the time, to be honest, what to do, but I said, yeah, I'll try it for a year or two and see how it goes. And I really enjoyed my time in Longford as well, like there's great players there, and it gave me a taste for the inter-county setup and how it runs. And like, it was a great experience for the 2 years, and then moving on to Knockmore, a huge club, and working with the likes of Ray Dempsey and a number of players there that have played in All-Ireland finals and league champions. And you know, it's just something you develop a passion for, and now I feel it's time to come home now and bring all that experience, like Eamon's experience, Con's experience, and Eamon McGee's experience as well, and just try and home that together now and push that into Sligo, and hopefully it'll take us to the right place, and I think it will, and I think the players, well, I know the players are there, and I think we've the right management team in place with the combined thing of experience and the expertise, the knowledge, and put that together with the players that there. I think Sligo football is in the right place.
Desi Sloane and Eamon O'Hara, along with new head coach Con O'Mara, speaking to Ocean FM Sport this week. The fourth member of the new management quartet is a Donegal man. Eamon McGee joins as a coach selector. He gave his reaction to News Talks Off the Ball this week.
I love being about a dressing room and the media crack. I love chatting about football and this and that there, but my real passion is to be in that dressing room. And you know, you can't do them, but unfortunately you can't play anymore, so just the next thing is to get in and coaching, and I do really enjoy the coaching, so it's a challenge. The lads came to me a few weeks ago, I sat and thought about it, and I just want to see how we get on with it now, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's Eamon McGee. Sean Boyle will continue on in his role as strength and conditioning coach. Stephen Gilmartin from Tubbercurry will be the team doctor again. Tour Lestrand's Alan Dunn will lead physio and rehabilitation. Aidan Carty from Killeva Strandhill stays on as kit man. Another Tour Lestrand man will be leading the county under 20 footballers in Sligo next season. Stephen Henry has been appointed to the job, with Adrian McPartland of Killeva Strandhill and St Mary's Gary O'Hare working with him. Oni Coyle, who has just coached the Sligo under-16s to the last four of the Manning Cup. He's the new Sligo minor manager next season. James Mitchell and John Feeney are part of his backroom team. In hurling, Sligo senior hurlers have a new bonnestour. Limerick man Tom Hennessy takes over from the outgoing boss Stephen Shiel. Hennessy was part of Shields' coaching ticket last season. He's from Kilmallock and is a former Limerick County player. He won National Hurling League titles, Munster Hurling titles with Limerick, and was involved in the 1994 and 1995 All-Ireland finals. Rhys Armstrong, who's director of hurling at Ulster University, and specialist goalkeeping coach Derek Kelly, who's been involved with the Donegal Hurling and Coaching Academy, Camogie Academies, they will be working with Hennessy. Irla Cox will be the SNC coach, supported by Sean Boyle. Further members will be added to the coaching ticket, we gather, from within the Sligo hurling community, one of whom will also be a member of the County Under 20 management team. Darren Norman and Gary Gilgan will continue as the kit men. Martin Feeney has been appointed as the Under 17 minor hurling team manager for another season. They will compete in the Celtic Challenge again, and assisting Martin will be Colway St. Joseph's clubman Jeff Hines. The appointment of a Sligo under 20 hurling boss, incidentally, has been deferred until the county gets clarification on whether a proposed new Connacht under 20 hurling development league is going to happen. A reminder too, the 2025 Sligo Homeland Senior Football Championship begins this weekend with four group matches. Group 1 opens tomorrow evening in Caish with a cracker. Killeara Strandhill, the county champions, against Shamrock Gaels, the new Division 1 league champions, at 7 o'clock. It's being streamed live on Sligo GAA TV from 7. Then on Saturday in Group 1, Kerry play Eastern Harps in Kilcoyne Park at 7 p.m. At the same time in Group 2, it's St. Meloche Gaels against St. Mary's in Killooney. We'll have coverage of both games during Saturday Sports Beat Extra on Ocean FM from 7 o'clock. The Killooney game is also being live streamed. And then on Sunday in Group 2, it's Turlestrand against Tubbercurry in Bunnernadden at 2 p.m. Live coverage of that on the radio on Ocean FM Sport this Sunday afternoon. When we come back after the break, new Sligo Rovers signing Kieran Harkin. Still to come, Jim McGuinness's words at the Donegal All-Ireland homecoming on Monday night. But first to the summer transfer window shopping of Sligo Rovers, which continues. Paddy McLean, Ryan O'Kane, James McManus, Seb Quirk, Sean Stewart, they've all come to the showgrounds and improved things in a meaningful way in recent weeks. The latest addition this week is Kieran Harkin, signed from Derry City. He's been speaking to Oran Keating about fighting his way into this in-form Rovers team.
Every position's going to be competitive in this team now. They're doing very well. And I'm looking to bring something new to that. Hopefully I can get my spot in the team and keep it. And as I say, it brings something new to that, but when there's great competition, obviously it just pushes the players on, so I'm hoping the other lads can push me on and I can push them on as well, so it's good for the squad.
And you're coming down from Derry City. You spent your whole playing career up north with Derry and Coleraine, and you spent a bit of time with Institute as well, and that's a huge change coming down further south and coming to a new stadium after spending your whole life up there.
No, that is tough, obviously. Growing up supporting Derry and playing in their youth. I've been in Derry right up to now. Even the R clubs I was at, I was always loving there, and I've never loved away from home, so it is something new for me. And it's probably came at the right time. It's something that I needed to do, get out of my comfort zone. I've always been in my comfort zone living at home, and it's just something different for me, and I'm hoping that it can kick me on with a new challenge.
You have had a tough couple of seasons. You've had ACL twice in the last few years, and as a player, obviously physically but mentally as well, I'm sure that's really, really difficult to come back into a team and to try and get back into 11 after two of those. They're really serious injuries.
Yep, no, well, obviously before I got the injuries out there, I was probably playing my best football, so obviously no injury coming at the right time, but it probably came at the worst time possible, as I felt like I was playing my best football that I've ever played. But as you say, after them few years being out injured, getting back and coming back under that was always very tough. Obviously, with the the competitive squad that Derry has, I knew it was always going to be an uphill challenge for me. But I tried my best, I worked my hardest to try and get onto that squad, and just wasn't to be. Got very little time, obviously, but it just came to the time where it felt like, obviously last year as well, when I went out on loan, it just needed to get out of there to get that game time. And when I came back after the loan, obviously the game time was very limited again. So it was just that time where, for my own career, and to kick on and I see what I can do somewhere else. I just needed, this is the best thing for me, and I was really excited when John contacted me and gave me the opportunity. So I'm grateful for that.
You're moving down to Sligo. You're signing today for Sligo Rovers, and you know, coming down and you look at the team that's been here. You're in the League of Ireland. You've seen that at the start of the season. This is a side that did struggle, but I'm sure as a player, when you look at the performances and the results that this team have pulled together in the last couple of weeks, it fills you with confidence coming into this team.
No, it does. It obviously helps coming on the team that's in good form. But as you say, it might have been a slow start to the season, things like that. But watching this team and knowing a lot of players from over the years, obviously seeing them play, know there's good players here. So it's only a matter of time for me, and obviously the new signings coming on have also helped that. So they're probably underachieving at the start of the season, and hopefully they can kick on now and I can help with that as well.
Obviously on paper you're Kieran Harkin, but there is another name that you go by, Jackie. Well, what's the reason behind that nickname?
I've been called Jackie since I was, I don't even remember what age, from when I was really young. Just a nickname I've had and have stuck by me, but I think 90% of the people who know me call me Jackie, but yes, it has came after Jackie Chan, but I'm not 100% what the main reason for that was.
Fighting qualities as a footballer, is it?
Well, I don't know how good he is at football, but...
New Sligo Rovers midfielder, Kieran Harkin. He was talking there to Oran Keating. And Rovers against Shelburne will be live on Ocean FM this Saturday night from 7:45 at the showgrounds, courtesy of Henry's Bar and Restaurant in Cashel Garran. We're going to finish tonight with Donegal and last Monday evening's homecoming at the pier in Donegal town. There was no Sam Maguire, but there were these words from manager Jim McGuinness to the hordes of Donegal supporters who gathered to greet the team.
Thanks very much. I suppose first of all I want to recognise the players behind me here, the players and the staff, but particularly the players. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of hurt behind me. There's a lot of pain behind me. There's no doubt about it that these fellas, they wanted to be standing in front of you and they wanted to have the Sam Maguire, and that's not here. And there's nobody more disappointed than that group of players, and I really hope that this can be a moment that they can latch on to, that will make them stronger, that more resilient, and bring them to a point where they're in a better position than they were yesterday afternoon in terms of going into a big game and taking on a big team. And so I just want to recognise them and thank them for everything that they've done over the course of the last 24 months, their efforts, their commitment, their sacrifice. We're very disappointed. We're very disappointed we're not here. We don't have the Sam. We're very, very disappointed. And we're very disappointed more than anything for you people, particularly all these young children across the frontier that are the future of Donegal football on the male and the female side. We're really, really disappointed. But there will be brighter days. The rain will stop and the sun will shine. And I know for a fact that Donegal will be back here someday with the Sam Maguire Cup. I hope in my heart of hearts that day is not too long away, and I hope that there's everybody in this stage will be part of that and enjoy that moment. We've had a fantastic journey over the last 2 years, back-to-back Ulster Championships, and they were really special moments coming into Pettico and coming into Donegal Town. And as I say, please God, in the not too distant future, we'll be back here again to celebrate a big, big night together. So from the bottom of my heart and all the players and the staff behind us, thank you so much for your support. Everybody all the way back there to the Four Lanterns, all the way back there, thank you so much. You have been amazing. It's amazing to go into big games, starting with Derry, which feels a long time ago now, starting with Derry. It's amazing to begin into big games knowing that you have everybody in Donegal behind you 100%. And even though we were unsuccessful yesterday, everybody is still here. So thank you so, so much. And without further ado, I'll let you get out of the rain. I'll let these fellas meet their families, and please God, we'll see you all soon. Thank you.
Jim McGuinness at the pier in Donegal Town on Monday night. They were All-Ireland semi-finalists in 2024, All-Ireland finalists in 2025, so maybe next year's the year. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your pods, search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.